Hi, listener. We're glad you're here on this Wednesday, April 4th, 2012. For those of you tuned in yesterday, you heard I had Jason Schiffo and his lovely wife, Tasha, in the studio. Tasha had recently been at the Hearts at Home conference in Bloomington, Illinois. And yesterday we had so much to say and share that I asked them to stay in the studio. So you're going to hear the continuation of the conversation that began yesterday as we'll discuss some of the various topics of what Tasha learned and then try to have applications for you to be better parents, better husbands and wives, and just better people generally. The God-honoring type that give glory to Him and model Jesus Christ most effectively to the world. Well, quickly, we had a fantastic meet and greet at the Olive Garden last night. So many of our radio listening family members came out. It was great. We filled like half the restaurant. I got to serve a lot of water and have fun and lots of meet and greets. Author David Wisher was there with his wife Heidi. Kathleen Jennings was showing off her Israel-inspired artwork. Steve Carmichael joined in on the festivities. We had displays set up. And so quickly, the winner of a $25 gift certificate to the Olive Garden goes to Alan Hannigan from Champaign, Illinois. Each and every Tuesday at the Olive Garden restaurants in Champaign, throughout the month of April, we're holding meet and greets, and there will always be a $25 drawing for those that fill out Voice of the Listener Radio surveys and have a meal at the Olive Garden each and every Tuesday night. So more to say about that. But let's get into this conversation with Jason and Tasha Schiffo. And you're going to hear also Abigail in the background. We'll basically begin where we left off yesterday. And Jason was getting himself in trouble because he learned you never tell your wife she has a face for radio. Here's that discussion. You have a face for radio, but don't ever say that about Tasha.
I learned what seeds not to sow last night, because Mark always makes this joke. He goes, oh, you got a face for radio. And I go, oh, that's funny. I don't ever think about what the implications are of saying that to your wife. I will tell you, she'll go to sleep with her back to you, yes. And she won't talk to you anymore.
I told you, husbandry 101, you should have learned that. I don't know how you passed.
I told you, I'm unschooled in radio. I don't even know. So I made that comment. I go, Tasha, can't wait till tomorrow. You have a face for radio. She goes, that's not very nice.
Yeah. And I don't know if I've ever really said that about you, but I know people do say that
no,
oh, you have
that.
A face. Well, maybe that was after I lost some of my man points and I had to kind of lash back.
Can't.
I wasn't operating in the spirit.
Hey, you said there was one about thing that you went to about abundance and about what you're truly rich in. I'd love for you to address this because Mark is going through a season of shopping, yeah. You know, where he's not sure what's enough.
Yeah.
And Pier 1 seems to be his destiny's calling. That's his altar he's been going to.
Yes.
Well, Mark.
Yes.
No, do this. Do go like, I have a friend.
Yeah. I know this close friend of mine.
Marianne Miller, she used Target as an example because, of course, every mother loves Target.
Target,
of course. But we all love Target, us moms do, because it's easy. It has something for everybody in the family. We can all shop there very quickly. And she used the example of, you know, you can make it past the toy section easily. You can say no to the Legos and no to Barbie. But once you get up to the checkout, you've heard enough. And so they have those toys up in the front. She called them shut-up toys.
Oh.
Those are the things that Target has put up there, she believes, to shut the kids up. And you grab one of those toys, and they're a dollar. And they all those toys end up at your house. And she was saying that it's not teaching your children enough. That it doesn't matter if it's a Lego or if it's a shut-up toy or a dollar toy. It is still a toy, and they won in that category.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm thinking, Jason, we could talk about this from our jewel days, but that's where you had all those impulse items, high gross margin items you could make a lot of money on, and they're the items that you wouldn't naturally maybe purchase or think about, but there they are, they're convenient, you pick them up, and yeah, the shut up, that would kind of make sense, and you're right, when you start compromising, or, oh, it's not worth the teachable moment right here to be patient, to say, hey, you're not going to get your way, oh, for a dollar, you can justify, I'm just going to give it to the child to keep them from crying, rather than working, you know,
exactly.
The
all
hard
those mamas
lesson.
Know not to give the kids Snickers and bubblegum, but we can't say no to the cute little $2 package of Lego minifigs.
That was Abigail. She just realized that Beamer ate all her Cheerios.
Oh, that is
so that
true.
Scream right there was Beamer in baby language.
She's learning how to share.
So in light of like the shut up toy concept, how do you stop that?
She said she was talking about a do-over, that it's never too late to start over again, to sit down and explain to your children, we're going to start living differently now. And you can say things like, we have been starting to notice that you have too many Legos.
I've been starting to notice that you have too many picture frames with leaves and birds. I've been starting to notice a large wicker trunk behind your couch.
You know, Jason, when you share that, you know how that makes me feel?
That's a good one.
Oh, no. What seeds am I sowing?
Yes.
But my favorite was, this won't serve you well.
Oh. I like the fact that you're just taking the time to just sit down with the child and explain, you know, this is not going to be a practice that we're going to continue with, or we're going to make some changes here, and this is why, or taking what you're learning and then putting it into practice. And right. Then,
and of course, you can blame mommy school. I learned this at mommy school, that we can do a do-over, and this won't serve you well.
Well, I think that's powerful, too, because there's two things I want to make a point of. Number one is that some of us get ourselves – so I've sat down with innumerable amount of people, you know, when you do counseling and that, and they say, how can I ever get my life back on track? How can I ever do this? How will I ever get out of this? And sometimes the shortest distance to where you want to go might simply be to say, let's have a do-over. Let's just start over today. Let's just put another foot forward and say, let's start over. This is a do-over. I think we live in a culture that's so afraid. We feel like we've got to hit the rewind button instead of saying, you know what? Let's just do this over. Let's just start from scratch again. It's okay. That was one thing I thought was great. And then I think another thing is that I think we live in a culture where everything is a need. And they talked about that, didn't they? They talked about wants versus needs.
She showed different pictures, and she showed a picture of three children sitting around one plate of food. And the next picture was one child with one hot dog up to his face, showing that is enough. And then she showed a family sitting down to Thanksgiving dinner, where that is abundance. And then she showed the last picture was just a whole mound of hot dogs and one child. And obviously that is too much. No child could eat a whole plate of hot dogs.
I think we've replaced true agape kind of love with this idea that if I provide an extravagant amount of, if my son wants this little Lego set and I get him the 1,000-piece Lego set, well, look at my extravagant love. And nowhere in the scripture does God ever pour out any kind of love that's measured in the amount of things. It's always this extravagant love that's a blessing that's poured into your heart, a blessing that elevates you and exalts you and brings you up. But it's not something like, hey, God, you know, I don't know anybody who God met them in their moment of greatest brokenness and said, here's some stuff.
Right.
Most of the time God meets them and he takes them out of some stuff. But we live in this culture where we can't, something can't be a want. Because want and need are so close. You know what I mean? I mean, like, if you were here and you could see my left hand over here and my right hand, and I got about 2.5 feet between it, we can't have that distance between want and need, because the minute I want something, now I need it.
Well, and children don't understand the difference between a want and a need. Our children think they need Barbie and Legos.
Right. Yeah.
What they need are shoes and a bed and a roof over their heads.
And how about this? I mean, I would make this personal challenge. Because when we were driving back in the car from the Creation Museum and we're downloading this and we're talking about it, you know, Tasha gave me all her notes and she was talking to me about, you know, this is what this person said and this is what this person said. And I said, okay, you know what? Hey, what's now the application moment for our family? If my kids want Barbie and want Lego, how have I modeled that? And now how can we hit the pause button, have a do-over, and model extravagant love based on the love that Jesus has, based on the love that God has? Not a love that's perpetuated in stuff, but a love that's perpetuated in deep moments together. How can I show my son that no Lego set will be the same as this hug I'm going to give you?
Right. The way that Mary Ann Miller, the speaker, ended this discussion was that you can purge like a maniac. You can purge as a family. You can purge everything around the house and just go around the house and, you know, what do we have that is in abundance? We don't need 20 pairs of shoes. We just need a few pairs of shoes. Let's give these shoes to someone who needs them. But her thing was, if you want to fill them up with things that are good. Fill them up with the love of Jesus. Fill them up with things that you think that are their characteristics, the good things about them. Fill them up with good things about their characteristics.
Yeah, and you shared with me, I think that she shared Galatians 6:3, which was really great. Because I don't think the idea is that I got to kill the stuff. I got to kill whatever's inside of me that makes me need or want this stuff. And Galatians 6:3 says, if anybody thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Do we see ourselves as God sees us? Do we look at ourselves and say, hey, you know what? I'm worthwhile apart from this stuff. I'm worthwhile apart from all this. You know what? Hey, the guy down the street has a 10-car garage. Am I going to be any better with a 10-car garage? Or am I going to be okay just in how I am?
Yeah. Well, I like, Tasha, your concept of that do-over, because I think it applies to not just children, but to adults, too, because how many times do we need a do-over daily with our walk with God?
Like, well, radio, obviously.
Yeah, with radio. But how we mess up, yes. How we constantly, you know, are called to repent, to turn from our wicked ways, to say, God, I need a do-over. And it's a great concept. And not every child understands what a do-over is, because you just learn that. But how many times as adults, we forget that we can do a do-over. Yes, we've blown it. Yes, we've messed up. Yes, we've made mistakes. But thank you, God, that He's the Redeemer of all do-overs, and that He's provided a way through the Holy Spirit for us to kind of repent, to turn, to actually be convicted, and then to turn from our wicked ways or change.
So you said, you told me something relating to perfection that I think really ties into what Mark's saying.
Perfection, you can ask your children for a do-over. You can ask your children for forgiveness. You can explain to them, Mommy and Daddy mess up. Will you please forgive us? This is the mistake that we've made. Will you forgive me? Yes, Mommy and Daddy, I forgive you. Thank you. I love you.
So would you say then as parents, we have to model the idea of the do-over? You know, I find it fascinating because it's a child's concept, but we should probably model how a do-over is done right first, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You do a do-over between husband and wife. We mess up together a lot.
And then I think we blow up the idea of perfect. Perfect doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Nothing will ever be perfect. You'll never have the perfect amount of Legos. You'll never have the perfect house. You'll never have any of that. Maybe how you do something is a whole lot more important than attaining perfect. The house will never be, you know, we're going to have a small group over in the coming days, and the house will never be clean enough, will it?
Exactly.
I mean, perfect doesn't exist there.
Exactly. One of the quotes that I have is, you will never see other people the way God sees them until you can see yourself the way God sees you.
So we almost have to calibrate our own mindset. I mean, in a sense, is that saying when we recognize how much God loves us and values us and appreciates us, then we can value others? Or what's the meaning there?
That goes with the speaker, Jamie Cabe. She had her discussion was called Everyone Has a Story. And not to judge everyone, that everyone that you see has a story, whether they're grouchy or whether they're jumping for joy, there's a reason why they are showing those emotions, and not to judge.
Mm-hmm. I think if you start to look at the way God looks at it, and God goes, look, you're opening up your doors. You're going to have people. I mean, I'm using the small group analogy again. You're opening up your doors. You're allowing these people to come in your house. You're going to love them to death. You've made some, Tasha's famous for this French onion dip. You made French onion dip. You got potato chips.
Oh, really?
She is.
Well, I guess I don't know about it yet.
Well, we'd love to have you come to our small group.
Nudge, say no more. You know what I mean?
I think this idea that, look, I've opened my door, I've invited people in, you know, I'm doing it with Jesus, we made onion dip, we got Pepsi Cola, I mean, we got all these things, and we just want to love people to death. And then why would we run around like chickens with our heads cut off? A friend of mine likes to say something funny. He says, we better comb the insulation, because the mom gets so crazy about getting the house clean enough when the people come over. Maybe we should just say, you know what, this is enough. Perfect doesn't exist. Let's just do this with God.
We learned at Hearts at Home that's called chaos, and chaos stands for can't have anyone over syndrome.
Oh.
The fly lady, Marla, silly.
And I like what you pointed out. Sometimes when we evaluate or judge, we look at a person and we look at them in a slice of eternity, if you will, just maybe for a few moments, and maybe they're upset or whatever. And so then we judge them, oh, what ornery, and we don't know what they've just gone through, or the heartache or the situation that they're in. And so I've always been real careful, because until you walk in someone's shoes, I mean, not that you can justify their being angry or a temper tantrum or anything, but when you realize, oh, shoot, they just came through a circumstance. If I would have known that, I would have given them a little more our grace. And I've just always learned we got to be real careful because we don't know what environment they just came out of or what their situation was. And we got to give a little more grace to people.
Speaker's perfect example, she realized that she was the story, that she had a story, was when she was pushing her children through Costco and realized that she had her three foster children with her, not her biological children. Mm-hmm. And people were giving her the look because they don't look like her at all. Mm. And she thought, wait a minute, I have a story to tell.
Yeah.
Mm. I can explain this.
Yeah.
Tasha, I don't want to put you on the spot or the representative of all the first ladies. You know, you're married to a pastor, but maybe you could give some insights for various congregations, various members. What would be an ideal way for members of a church to support their pastor, to support the pastor's wife? Are there unique ways that they could come alongside and help? Because, you know, a pastor and a pastor family and the first lady, I like how the black churches, they really honor, they call the pastor's wife the first lady, and she's kind of revered and honored, and that's not typical of most of the main denominations or many of the white churches. It's just like, oh great, we get two for one. She's going to do the Sunday school ad, or she's going to lead the children's group, and I'm glad we have the pastor. And sometimes there's also an added burden on the pastor's wife, and many times you kind of co-pastor. But I guess in a nutshell, what I'm asking is, what would be some unique or effective ways for people to support pastors' wives and the pastor?
Well, I do have to say, Mark, that when you call me the first lady, that I do walk a few inches taller.
Yes.
You know, just the job title alone, I feel so much better about myself. But for our family, we have young children, and I think the way that we feel the most blessed right now is just when people give us their time, when someone offers to hold the baby, especially during worship or at church, during Sunday school. It's just such a nice time that I can sit and I can focus on what Jason is preaching about that day, so that when I'm talking about it in the middle of the week with my friends, I actually do know what they're talking about because I was actually in the room at the same time with him.
Yeah.
But time is that speaks for us. And
like that illustration you gave where that one neighbor friend just folded laundry or came in and did laundry, I'm sure having somebody maybe offer to babysit or to, like you said, hold your child or come and do yard work
right,
or gift cards or dinners out. I know sometimes with pastors, let's have the pastor over. Oh, let the pastor have the day off. Just give him a gift card. Let him go out and choose the restaurant, be with his family and not have to feel obligated. But I know there's just so many different ways. We try to do that during Pastor Appreciation Month, but I think there's just so many unique ways we can kind of help shoulder some of the burden or not have to have the pastor do all the praying at a gathering or not having to have the pastor always be pastoral in every situation. Let him be a man amongst all the other men.
Exactly. That's what another thing, too, is that especially us, we're fairly new to the community and new to our congregation. And for people who want to get to know us, want to walk a mile in our shoes and are not judging us, because we're not perfect. We're a pastor's family, and we're human. Mm-hmm. We make mistakes. We say silly things. We may speak a little sideways sometimes, but just getting to know us and knowing that we are human, and that's a real blessing for us, is to treat us as friends.
Yeah. Tasha, in our closing minutes here, what would be one of the greatest takeaways that you're trying to implement? So maybe a couple questions. What would be maybe one of the greatest takeaways that you're trying to implement from the conference? And then maybe for our listeners, what would be an encouraging tidbit or point of application or advice that you would give to maybe the mom that's kind of struggling or overwhelmed in her situation?
Okay, Mark, so I'm sleep deprived, so you're going to have to remind me what those three questions are.
Yeah.
But your first question was...
He did that to John MacArthur, too. And John MacArthur goes, well, Mark, what was that?
I feel much better about that.
Yeah.
The first takeaway for us, I think, was Michelle Duggar's speaking to the children in a whisper. Hmm. When your instinct is to shout at them and yell at them, to whisper to the children so that you really have their attention, that you have to get down on their level so that they actually hear you. And the second thing that we're really working on at our house is raising our kids in a grateful manner in a culture of consumerism, teaching them that what is enough and what is abundance and being happy with what they have.
Yeah, just this understanding that Jesus is enough.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I like that we had talked about that earlier, about allowing the Holy Spirit through the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control to be kind of the barometer or the navigating mindset or fruits that we exhibit when we're raising kids or interacting with one another.
Yeah, and I would say this, maybe in closing I want to say this to the pastors that are out there. So I know you probably have a fair amount of pastors who tune in and, in the morning to listen. Is that, you know what, if you don't release your wife, and I use the term release because some of you guys are going, you know what, I'm the one who's leading in this family. I'm the one who's got a church. I'm the one who's got a big schedule. I'm the one who's got all this stuff. And your wife is kind of chained at home with a bunch of kids. She's not sure what to do. You want her to lead in the ministry, but she doesn't know how to do that because she's never been given the opportunity to be equipped and encouraged to do this. I would love for you to be challenged to release your wife, to be able to go and sit a room with 5,000 women, to be able to worship this one God who separated light and darkness, who authored your marriage, brought this wife into your life, so that she can be the best darn mom she can be, the best darn wife she can be, the best darn person. What was that guy? He was from Saturday Night Live where, you know, you're special, you're wonderful, I forget what that guy was.
And by golly, I'm good looking or something.
Oh, no, don't even. That's like a bear trap right there, because then I go, well, you got a face for radio.
Well, I think you're handsome.
Oh, thank you so much. But I would just challenge you to release your wife, to go out and to be equipped and encouraged to do the ministry that God has called her to do. Earlier in the program, we talked about the folding the laundry and that. I think that we're all missionaries. The greatest missionary and the greatest disciple maker is your wife, because she's raising your kids. She's building a network with all these other moms around the neighborhood. Allow her to go out and be equipped and encouraged. Allow her to go out and have her glass filled up. Look, guys, I'm just going to be honest with you. You can't fill her cup up the way that she needs it filled up. She needs to go get in a room with a bunch of other women. She needs to go there and hear these stories and realize the value of her own story. And it's probably the most powerful thing that can happen. She's going to come back and hug you tighter. She's going to come back and love you more. She's going to come back and be even more grateful that she's married to you. Hey, Mark, before you close out, let me point out something that's going on tomorrow night at our church. We'll be holding an ordered Jewish Seder meal, the last meal that Jesus took with his disciples before he went to the garden to pray and was led to the cross. This will be held at Community Evangelical Free Church. The cost is $5 per family, and we ask that you bring a potluck dish to be able to share with all the families that are going to be in attendance. We ask that you register by today at about 3 o'clock if it's possible, and you can do that at communityfreechurch.com. That's communityfreechurch.com, or you can call the church office at 217-586-5165. That's 217-586-5165.
Well, that concludes our 2 days with Tasha and Jason Schiffo. If you missed part of the broadcast today or yesterday, go to greatnewsradio.org and listen on our archive programs page. And if you stop by greatnewsradio.org, you'll see a photograph of Tasha holding up Abigail, and then I superimposed a picture of the three children, which included Abigail, Molly, and Jacob. And you'll see a little photograph that I squeezed in of Jason in the bottom. So that's at greatnewsradio.org. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.